Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, right now we submit ourselves to you. We submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, for he is the Spirit of God. We submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus. And we ask, Lord God, for your counsel. As we come before you this morning, we draw on your wisdom. We draw on your knowledge, revelation knowledge. We draw on your understanding. We thank you, Lord, that it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. And you said that we have an unction, all of us. We have an unction from the Holy One, and we all know the truth. And so we thank you, Lord God, that you release truth to us today, because you said we would know the truth, and the truth would set us free or make us free. And so we thank you for the knowledge of the truth that makes us free, that we can walk in revelation knowledge in the midst of all this confusion in this world. In the midst of confusion, Lord God, we thank you that truth will abound and that light will shine, because you said that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness comprehends it not. And so we thank you for the light of God in us that's greater than the darkness that's in this world. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, teach us this day. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen.
Amen.
I still, you know, I wanted to deviate, and I've been teaching this series on faith, and I've been teaching on the hearing of faith and the speaking of faith and the seeing of faith. Well, I haven't taught the seeing of faith yet, but I'm thinking I'm going on the hearing of faith part two, but the Lord kind of intercepted it, and so this is just going to be kind of intermingled. I'm not going to stop until he tells me to stop, because if the word of God says, since the word of God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, then we should learn how to live by faith. It is absolutely impossible. He says to the believer, nothing is impossible to him that believes, to him who has faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you were created for his pleasure. You were created to bring him pleasure. And so you need to understand, have revelation knowledge of what it means to live by faith. The just, and that means the righteous ones, those who have been called out of darkness, those who have been called out of the world, and not just called, because Jesus said many are called, but few are chosen. So you don't want to just be called, you want to answer the call. You want to hear the clarion call of the Good Shepherd. Because I believe we're very close. You can see the signs of the times being fulfilled every single day. As Bishop said, 11 Jewish worshipers being shot down in the synagogue. These bombs being sent to all of these different Democrats all over the country. And whether you like them or not, right is right and wrong is wrong. And thank God that the man was captured. But you know, as you listen to these stories, you find out more and more about how there's absolutely no such thing anymore as privacy, because you leave your fingerprints everywhere. If you don't leave your fingerprints, if you take I found out this time, never thought about it, but licking an envelope, you put your DNA on that envelope. You're being watched everywhere you go. You're under surveillance. I talked to my brother yesterday, who lives in Oakland, California. He called me and he said that he found out that the policemen have this apparatus in their cars now, and it was given to them to listen to for terrorism because of what started at 9/11. But now they have this apparatus where they can actually listen in to telephone conversations in people's cars around them. They can actually listen in. And so you're being watched, you're being listened to, you're being studied, you go in a store, you're being watched, there are surveillance cameras everywhere. But the Lord told me to tell you this, that there are greater watchers than the watchers of men. You're under surveillance of heaven. You're being watched by heaven and angels. And there's a protection and a covering over you. And you don't have to be worried. This is all moving towards the new world order. It has already been prophesied in the word of God. These things must come to pass. But I believe that the true body of Christ, the elect, will be taken out before this thing really blows up. I believe the elect, and I don't believe it's many, because he said many are called but few are chosen. But I believe a lot of people, I believe this myself personally, a lot of people in the church are not going to go in the rapture because they're in the world. They're not coming out. Jesus said, come out of her, talking about Babylon the Great. And Babylon the Great is the system of this world, ruled by Jezebel, the mother of all harlots. And you'll find her in the book of Revelation, this woman dressed in red, riding on this great beast with all of these horns. And she's ruling the world system. And the kings of the earth made themselves drunk with the wine of her fornication. And all the kings, the rulers of the earth, you can see are reeling right now. They're drunk. They're intoxicated by this spirit Jezebel, this spirit of Jezebel. And my message today is not on Jezebel, but you need to know and understand that this spirit is real. This spirit is real in Michiana. This spirit rules. She's out on that dome right now. Notre Dame literally controls this area. And people don't understand and realize that many people are just puppets. They're just puppets. They're doing what's been acted out in the heavens. People on earth are literally enacting it out in the natural. And so people don't understand just how close the spirit world is to the natural world. There's a parallel. There's an I don't want to say universe, but there's an alter world, an alternate reality that runs hand in hand with this reality. And what seems like reality is not really reality at all. Because for the most part, as I've told you over the years, for the most part, things are not the way that they appear. So you cannot live by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear. Because many things that your eyes see are a lie. And so you've got to have discerning. You've got to have the discernment of the Holy Spirit, discerning of spirits, which is a gift of the Spirit. But you've got to have a discerning spirit. And the only way you're going to have a discerning spirit is that you take the time, that you give God the time in his word to minister to you. Bishop Ralph and I both have been dealing with oppression this week. And the enemy has been sending just oppression. And one of us would get the victory, and then the next morning the other one would deal with oppression. Just oppressive spirits messing with you. I mean, you wake up and they're there. And you got to deal with it. You know, you go along a little while in the day, and then you realize you stop and you say, it's something wrong. You know, I stop and just say, because a spirit will say something to me you're not going to make it this time. And I stop and say out loud, who said that? I heard you. I bind you into outer darkness, you lying devil. Get out of my house. In the name of Jesus, the blood is against you. You don't speak to my mind. I open up my mouth and talk to the devil. I talk to spirits of oppression and lying devils. But you got to discern them. You got to have sifters on your mind. You got to discern them, because you'll just think that's just my thought. You'll just think that I'm just feeling bad. Well, why are you just feeling bad? There's a reason for it. And so you need to look a little closer and investigate. And don't just accept every thought just because it comes to you. Because what you think on is going to control your life. Your most dominant thoughts control your life. If you are a depressed person, I guarantee you, you think depressive thoughts. If you are an unhappy person, it is impossible to be unhappy without thinking thoughts of unhappiness. If you are a very lonely person, you think thoughts of loneliness. I'm by myself. I have no friends. Nobody cares. I've always been like this. Those kind of thoughts are coming to you. You cannot commit suicide without thinking thoughts of suicide. Whatever you do, whatever your most dominant thoughts control you, your most dominant thoughts control you. You never will rise above your thoughts. That's why the Bible says we have got to take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We've got to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If you don't learn how to bind imaginations, if you don't learn how to get the victory over your thoughts, you don't know how to do warfare. You can't deal with the big boys, because most of the time the things that dominate and control your thoughts are demons. But there are principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age that can literally cause you to self-destroy if you can't deal with these small thoughts, these arrows that come against your mind. And the word of God says it's the small foxes that destroy the vine. It's the scorpions and serpents. And, you know, Jesus said, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We wrestle against of serpents and scorpions and imps and little creatures look like, my daughter told me that when she was in the hospital, she saw one that looked like a little leprechaun in her room. And it said something very evil to her. So I want you to know that realm is real. And you're walking through it every day. And I remind you that you can go to, you can wake up in the morning and before you leave out of the house, turn on the news and a snake is wrapped around your head and you don't even realize it. And you go all day with this snake, this hissing creature wrapped around your head, telling you lies, telling you, one of the main things that the devil will do is tell you things are hopeless, that you have, there's no purpose for your life. That's one of the main conversations of the enemy. It's to steal your hope and tell you you have no purpose and no reason to even get up. There's no hope for your children. You've done all that you can do. Why are you even still here? This is devil talk. And you got to realize this is demonic. You are under assault. You're under siege and you need to take authority. Rise up and begin to bind this. And the reason I'm talking to you like this is because the Lord has been dealing with us that if we don't get the victory, if we don't take control over our minds, he says, in your patience, Jesus said, in your patience, possess your soul. You be in control. He's talking to your spirit now. You be in control of your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so this morning this afternoon, I'm used to always saying mornings, I've said it for over 30 years, but this afternoon as we go to the Word, we're going to go to the Word on the speaking of faith. And I want to say this, it's what the Lord told me to tell you. You've got to clean your mouths up. You've got to clean your mouth. We are our mouths, many of the saints, you've got potty mouths. You've got to clean up what you're saying. And I'm talking about cursing if saints do curse or cuss. God forbid, but some do. But I want to tell you something that may be worse than cussing, and that's cursing yourself with the words of your mouth. Yes.
cursing yourself with the words of your mouth. The Bible said you are snared by the words of your mouth. The things that you say will bind you. I'm talking about in the spirit. Words are spirit. Do you understand me? Words are spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So if his words are spirit and life, then the devil's words are spirit and they are death. But because we are spirits, whatever comes out of our mouth is spirit. We release spirit with our words. Our words go into the atmosphere. I believe our words fill our houses. You can go, if you are sensitive, you can go into a person's house and you can feel in the atmosphere that there's animosity and strife in this place. That harsh words have been spoken in this place. Demonic words have been spoken in this place. Because words linger. You don't believe that words linger? In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And God said, let there be light. And boom, light began to reverberate throughout all the generations. And do you know that they say because of light, galaxies are still forming right now. Life starts with light. Let there be light. And do you know God said, let there be light before he created the sun? Yes. Do you know that light, the light, God's light is his very nature? Yes. The sun is not the source of light. God is the source of light. The divine nature is light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, John said. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. The darkness cannot overpower light. I want you to know that. Let that reverberate throughout this whole city. The darkness in this city will not be able to comprehend the light. The darkness cannot overpower light. Darkness cannot put out light. I don't care how dark it gets. You put one light, one small candle in the midst of darkness, and light begins to take over. And people are able to see. And that's what Bishop was talking about last week. We are the light of the world. You can go into a dark room and you cut a one light bulb off. Now, when we came in this morning, it was a little bit dark. But still you could see because there were lights up front. You just put a little bit of light. It might be dim, but just a little bit of light will cause people to gravitate and begin to be able to see and move in a certain direction. Well, I want you to know when God said, let there be light, those words of his, he never rescinded them, and they are still creating galaxies and galaxies and galaxies and universes, and all types of different things are still being created because Jehovah said, let there be light. And you know what? He made man in his own image and after his likeness. And man, he gave man the ability to speak. And man is really the only creature that can speak, that can think and speak. Now there are parrots that can repeat things that they've been taught, that can mimic words, but man has the ability to think and speak. He literally made us speak in spirits. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed, the worlds were created by the word of God. And so brothers and sisters, you create your world just like Yahweh, as Bishop said. You create your worlds. You frame your world by the words of your mouth, by the things that come out of your mouth. You don't believe it? I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Genesis, the speaking of faith. Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. You know, I've wondered about this. I thought,
Well, the hearing of faith, I didn't get finished with that, but the Lord said you're gonna weave in and out as I lead you. But I was really wondering about this one, but it feels pretty good. Kind of like putting a suit on. You think, I think I can wear this. It's feeling, y'all feeling this? It feels pretty good. I believe I can do this. Y'all putting this on? Are you putting it in? You eating it? Is it pretty good eating? All right then, let's read Genesis chapter 11. Look at verse 1. Now the whole earth had what?
One language
and one speech. The whole earth had, and that word speech means lip or tongue. The whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, come, I believe the King James says, go to now. But they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. Everybody say a city. And a tower. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, the people are united, and they have one language. They all have one language. They saying the same thing. They're united as one, and they saying the same. This is powerful. And this is in the negative. This was against God's will. These were wicked people, but they were united. They had one tongue, one language. And so as he's looking at this, he says, the people are one, and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they purpose will be withheld from them. Nothing that they purpose or propose will be withheld from them. Come, this is the Elohim talking, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know how I know? They says, come, let us go down. And go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, the name is called Babel. And this word Babel means confusion. Because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. Because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. So let's look back at verse 7. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And so here they are building a tower. They're united. They have one speech. They've got vision. They're building a city. And in the midst, they're building a tower. And the Lord comes down. They got God's attention. So Elohim comes down. And he confuses their language. And so John says, get the brick. And Paul says, who they fuke? And Joshua says, ekinama. And Henry says, dos kung shame. And Michael says, mokitikoso. And John says, what are you talking about? And William says, ushma bushi kente.
And Jose says, ¿Cómo se llama? And so they can't get anything done. And so John goes and stands up on the hill and says, does anybody understand me? And this one says, I do. And another one says, I do. Everybody that understands me, come over here. And they move off to a certain part of the earth. And Jose says, si hablo español? And several people say, si. And he says, come on. Vente, whatever. muy something. And every one of them stand up and holler out in their language, and they scatter all over the earth. But when they had one language, one tongue, one speech, when they were saying the same thing, God said, nothing shall be impossible for them. Because they were speaking the same thing. They were building a city, and they were building a tower. Now, I want to say something, and I'm not going to go into this. Bishop Ralph likes to go into this. I'm not going into it very deep. This is another teaching, and he's already taught it, and so he can come back and teach it a little bit later. But as we look back over at chapter 10, and we'll look at 10 and verse 1, and I'm not going to go very far with it because this is not my topic, but I want you to just know this fact. Chapter 10, Genesis 10 and verse 1. Now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And sons were born to them after the flood. Now it tells the sons of Japheth, I'm not going to go through them, the sons of Javan, and then it says, verse 5, where they scattered to the coastlands. Verse 6, the sons of Ham. Now remember, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush was black. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sapta, Raamah, Septisha. And the sons of Raamah were Seba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. Everybody say Cush. Begot Nimrod. Now Cush was black. This is the black race. Nimrod, he began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. But he was not a hunter of animals. He was a hunter of men. He was a very wicked man. The spirit of Nimrod we see operating in the inner cities right now, where man rides up and kills men hunting men. And so this spirit, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, a hunter of men. And the beginning of, let's talk about Nimrod, the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. So what we were talking about was Babel. Nimrod, the beginning of the Tower of Babel, confusion, was started by Nimrod. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh in the land of what? Shinar. Modern-day Iraq, Shinar. And so when we go back over to chapter 11, verse 1, now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass that as they journeyed from the east, that they found the plain in the land of where? Shinar. And this is where Nimrod was from. And so you have this black man. They believe this tower, at the top of this tower was what's called a ziggurat. and it was dedicated to the heavens. And they didn't think they were going to go all the way up to where Yahweh was. They were not that crazy, but they were going as high as they could go to dedicate this tower. And it had the horoscope at the very top of it. And it was the worship of all of these different gods of the horoscope. Bishop Ralph says it's the pyramid that's on the dollar. And up on the very top was Osiris, the all-seeing eye. All you got to do is look on the back of your dollar and you'll see it. The culture of this country is full of, and every country really, is full of idolatry, full of Freemasonry, full of witchcraft. This time of the year, witches are fasting. I mean, they actually consider Halloween. They actually consider Halloween witches' holy day. Now, how in the world can Halloween be holy? A holiday is a holy day. But it's really mocking God. And they really are practicing witchcraft. They really are. All kinds of things are going on this time of year. On Halloween or Hallow's Eve. All kinds of stuff, sacrifices. They really are. And you can tell. I mean, you can sense it in the atmosphere if you got any sensitivity at all. Witches fast. Witches, that you talk about astral projection. They can project themselves out of their bodies. They can project themselves into animals, into black cats. They literally can do that. Somebody asked how Bishop Ralph and I heard this. Somebody asked, how can they be promoted in witchcraft, in Satanism? And they were told to become a 33rd degree Mason. Freemason, and they would reach a higher level in witchcraft. But I want you all to know that the casting of spells, that is real. The speaking of spells and curses. The Apostle Paul asked the Galatians, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Who gave you the evil eye? Who cast a spell on you that you should stop obeying the truth, that you should not obey the truth? You ran well," he said over in another chapter. Who hindered you? You don't realize the demonic powers and forces that are being released. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. There are more with us than there are against us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And if you know who you are in Jesus Christ, and teach it to your children. You plead the blood of Jesus over your children. When you send them into this ungodly world school system, plead the blood of Jesus over them. Pray over them. Consecrate them. Commit them to God. Because this system thinks that they own your children. And this system is trying to mold your children. I was talking to Prophetess Mina last night, yesterday on the telephone. And I was telling her, I said, you know, I am so thankful that I'm not raising children right now. Because the enemy is so after the children. You know what the devil said, what Pharaoh said to Moses after all of the curses that God released, plagues that God released on Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. After all those plagues that were released, Pharaoh finally said, he didn't say what the guy in the book of Yul Brynner, he didn't say Moses is God, is God. That is not what Pharaoh said. Pharaoh said, okay, we'll let you go, but leave your children. Let us have your little ones. We'll let you go. You go ahead and go on into the promised land, but let us have your children. And you know what? Moses said, no, we will go, and we will go with our children, and we will go with our possessions, And we will go with all that God has given us. We will go because God said, let my people go that they may be free to serve me. And we will go. And they took their children with them. But you know what? A lot of us, we have gone on, but we left our children behind. We've gone on, but we left our children behind. Now, praise God, I got my children grown, but now I got grandchildren. And so now we got to go in warfare for our grandchildren. We got to speak the word over our children constantly and speak the word over our grandchildren. We are speaking spirits. We can have what we say. Jesus said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So you got to realize there's power in your words. You can take your words and frame your world. You can bind the enemy. You can loose heaven's blessings over your children. You can say, Satan, you will not have my children. You will not have my grandchildren. I bind you. You will not bully my grandchildren. You will not hinder my children. These are my seed. I speak that not only over my natural family, I speak it over you and your children. But God expects you to do warfare. If you're under warfare and don't realize it, well, wake up and realize it's not just about you. Wake up, church. It's time to wake up. We've been asleep too long. If you are depressed, you have been taken captive. If you are hopeless, you have been bound and you are in chains. If you are in fear right now, I guarantee you, you have been taken captive. You have got a trap. You've got your foot in a trap. Some of you, it's not just your foot, it's both feet. You have been trapped. Some of you got balls and chains. If you are not only hopeless, if you are negative and always speaking negative words and discouraged, you have been taken captive by the devil. The devil has got you bound. If you can't say nothing good, don't say anything at all. It's best to just hold your peace, because whatever you speak, and this is one thing that the Lord just reminded me of, we can be so confused. We can say something with our mouth, but in our heart, we don't really want it. But we say it with our mouth, and so our being is confused. We are double-minded. We have two minds. It's like your soul is double. You're confused. You're split. The Bible says, let not that double-minded man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Unstable in all of his ways. Unstable. Unstable. Tittle-tottling. Back and forth. Whatever the circumstances say. First you believe the word, then you believe the circumstances. First you believe the word, then he's got you looking at the circumstances. Circumstances lie. A lot of the things that you are worried about will never happen. But you can kill yourself worrying. You can destroy your body worrying. I was listening to one story. And I heard that they said words and things that you listen to can literally change your DNA. Your DNA can literally be changed by the things that you listen to and think about and meditate on. It can literally change your body, your health. Many cannot get healed because of the things that they think on and the words that they speak. Your mouth is dangerous. The Bible says, by your words you shall be justified. Jesus says this. And by your words you shall be condemned. What does that mean? Romans chapter 10 says this. It's been our foundational scripture. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. that if you will confess with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Goes on over to say, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So by your words, you are justified, made righteous. By your words, you are justified. When you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, by your words, you are declared righteous. But if you refuse to confess and believe that Jesus is Lord, then by your words, if you say, no, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe in that God stuff, by your words, you are condemned, you are judged, you are damned to hell. By your words. Your words determine your eternal destiny. Your words are so powerful that they will send you to an eternity with God, or an eternity in the lake of fire, burning forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. For Jesus said, the worm dies not. A lake that is so hot, hotter than the lava that we see come out of volcanoes. Because the Bible says that even hell, and some way or another, I think sometimes that volcanoes is just hell burping. I think that there's just lava that's just coming up out of the earth. It is so hot. It's just like hell just enlarges its mouth. The scripture says hell enlarges its mouth. And that lava is hot. But the Bible says that hell is going to be taken and put in the lake of fire. You don't want to spend your eternity in a lake of fire because of your words. Be careful of the words you say. Say them nice and sweet. You never know from day to day which ones you'll have to eat. You'll never know. But by your words, you're justified. So the speaking of faith, you got to realize that what I'm saying, I cannot afford to. And this applies to some of you. You cannot afford to go on Facebook and talk out of your feelings. You cannot afford to do this. Your feelings are controlled, can be controlled by the devil. Your feelings can be lying vanity. Sometimes they are true, but sometimes, most of the times, they are a lie. And you put that out there on Facebook, and every devil in hell will get in agreement with you. And the next thing you know, you'll be feeling worse. You can literally talk yourself to death. By the words of your mouth, you can write it and put it out there on Facebook, and you'll begin to feel worse and worse and worse and worse, and you can talk yourself right into the grave. If you feel bad, if you're going to put something on Facebook, you get out there and say, by his stripes, I am healed. The Lord is the strength of my life today. I will not observe lying vanities. But if you keep talking about how bad you feel, people will begin to stay away from you by the thousands. Initially, they'll feel sorry for you. Initially, people will pray for you. Initially, people will care. But after a while, people get concerned about their own feelings. If they feel like they can't help you, they'll leave you alone. After a while, people will quit responding to your posts because they have enough problems of their own. But you're setting a trap with the words of your mouth. Be careful what you say about your children. Be careful what you say about your marriage. Be careful what you say about your finances. Be careful what you say about yourself. You'll be snared by the words of your mouth. Your words will take you captive. You'll be bound by words. And so the speaking of faith, faith says what the word of God says. Faith says what the word says. It's no need of you say coming up for prayer, for healing or deliverance, or for financial breakthrough, and then begin to go out and talk against the word. Go out and speak the lies of the word. You got to speak God's word, and you got to be consistent, because by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Now I want you to turn over to another scripture with me. Turn to me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I haven't used up my time yet, so we're going to read this scripture. 1 Peter chapter 3. And when you get there, go to verse 8. Toward the back of your Bible, it's right behind the book of Hebrews, the second Peter. James, well, if you find Hebrews, just go backwards. 1 Peter chapter 3. Are you getting anything? Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to look with me at, I think I read this not too long ago as I've been teaching this series. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, look with me at verse 8. Finally, is everybody there? Say amen.
Amen.
Finally, all of you be of what?
One mind.
One mind. Be united in faith. Don't be double-minded. He says, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. That word courteous means humble. Not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, everybody say, on the contrary, blessing.
Blessing.
Knowing that, he said, Bishop Ralph says, in other words, quit cussing each other out. But it's not even just cussing. It's not even just cussing. Quit cursing each other. Quit cursing each other. Quit judging each other. If somebody says something bad to you, that don't mean you got to say something bad back. If somebody reviles, that don't mean that you got to revile. Bishop Ralph says this is what Christians are doing on Facebook. But the Bible says you are called to this. Not returning evil for evil. Verse 9. If somebody's evil toward you, you don't turn around and be evil toward them. You don't do it. You don't know what spirit you're of. You don't know what realms of darkness you're moving into. You don't know what portals you're opening up. You don't know what you're opening yourself or your children up to. With the words of your mouth, you don't know what door, who can step through doors. I just can't get over my sister in Texas, sharing that she was just lying back on her couch, resting, trying to rest. And she says all of a sudden the air in her room tore like a piece of paper, like somebody just ripped the air, and a man stepped out from behind it. See, there are dimensions that you know not of. She said the air just tore, and this man stepped out from behind it. And she said it scared her so bad that she screamed the name of Jesus. That's all she could do. He didn't have a chance to speak. He didn't have a chance to do anything. He immediately disappeared. But she said, I saw him. And I just think about that. You just don't know. There are portals in the spirit realm, portals that you can open up by cursing, by strife. The Bible says where there's strife, there's confusion, and every evil work. Babel, Babel. That's what confusion means, babbling. You know, you hear a bunch of babbling, confusion. That's what God called, initially called the Tower of Babel, confusion. He says where there is strife, there's confusion and every evil work. And so he says in verse 9, as you are not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. In other words, if somebody says something evil to you, you just bless them. You don't have to say it out loud even. You can just say it under your voice. I bless you in the name of Jesus. And walk away. It takes more strength to walk away than it does to stand there and curse them out. He says, knowing this, knowing that you were called to this, that you may do what? Inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain. That means hold back his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit or guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. How many of you seek peace and pursue peace? When you're feeling bad and somebody crosses you wrong, do you pursue peace? Do you stop and say, look, I didn't mean this. You're taking me wrong. You're taking me wrong. You don't understand. You don't understand. Let's just walk away from this. Blessed are the peacemakers. Yes, husbands and wives have to do it all the time. All the time. If you want to stay married, you got to pursue peace. And sometimes the pursuit of peace is just to shut up. Sometimes it's just to walk away. Sometimes it means to just to hold it. Say, we'll finish this conversation later. But the Lord has showed me, and I got to confess it to you, the Lord has showed me that you can act like that you have forgiven and you can walk away and stew, and that'll eat you up. It will set you back. It will harm you. I said to Bishop Ralph this morning in the lounge before we came out, I said, you ought to be a wife for about 10 minutes. Pastor Charles said, no, he ought to be your wife for about 10 minutes. Bishop Ralph said, I don't have the grace to be a wife. I said, well, the grace to be a wife for me has lifted. Pastor Charles says, it comes and goes. So this is a very interesting conversation we're having. But wives do have to submit to their husbands in everything. That's what the Word of God says. But sometimes this submission just kills you dead. Lord, have mercy. You say, Lord, what are you trying to do? Kill me? And he says, yes. Yes. I look over at Bishop and I see my cross. Some days. I just got to bear it. And I'm learning to just, after all these years, over 40 years, I'm learning to just not just hush my mouth, but to hush my mind and make my mind submit. Yeah, that's a mouthful. That's you ought to put that in your pipe and smoke on it. You ought to inhale that. Because God looks on the heart. And you can have an appearance of submission and be just rebelling. You can be planning a murder. How can I get rid of this Negro? How can I get rid of him? And on the outside, yes, honey. What would you like for breakfast today? You want bacon and eggs? How about some grits? And all the time thinking, I'm gonna pour this whole pot of grits on your head. Who was that that got a grit salvation? Somebody got saved. Al Green. That woman threw grits on him, and next thing we knew, he was a preacher. He built him a church. So in love with you. Whatever you want to do, it's all right with me. You make me feel so brand new. I want to spend my life with you. I said, sin. Since we've been together, loving you forever. Did he learn that after them grits or before? Oh, that was before the grits. Oh, well, he really meant it after that. Okay. Yeah. Lord, help me. Help me to finish this. It says, verse 10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Let him seek peace and pursue it. This is the word of God. Let him seek peace and pursue it. To pursue means to run after it. Search for it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The face of the Lord. You're trying your best to get the blessings of the Lord, and you are righteous, but you are doing evil, and the face of the Lord is against you. God is hindering you because of the words of your mouth, because you are returning evil for evil. You're reviling those who revile you. You're not pursuing peace. You're not seeking after it. These scriptures are connected. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He's watching the righteous. He's talking to the righteous right now. He says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to your prayers. But he's really insinuating here that his face is against those who do evil, those righteous ones who are practicing evil, those who are evil. His ears are not open to your prayers. You know you can do things. Even as a husband, the Bible says that you are to dwell with your wife according to knowledge, as the weaker vessel, even honor her as the weaker vessel, lest your prayers be hindered. Your prayer life is directly connected as a husband to the way you treat your wife. You're not going to rise above the way you treat your wife and get the blessings of the Lord, because it's a great mystery. Marriage is a mystery. It is a parable. It is a symbolic statement of Christ and his church. And so the way a man treats his wife is supposed to be prophetic of the way Christ treats the church. So if you are harsh with your wife, your prayers will be hindered, because Christ is never harsh with the church. If you are abusive, you don't realize what abusive and abrasive words do to her. because of the way that she's made. Words go deep. Even after asking for forgiveness, words cut. Words go deep into her spirit because she is a sensitive creature. That's why she's made to have two coverings. She's supposed to be covered by her husband. He is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is to cover her. He is the lid because she is a container. And she contains the things that he needs to help him be successful in life. She is a container. She literally is called as a vessel to hold and carry his seed and to raise his seed in the image and likeness of Almighty God. And once his seed have been delivered, and once she nurtures his seed, then she's also called to be one who carries his seed, his vision, and to birth his vision, and to bring forth life to his vision as he writes his vision on the tablet of her heart. But harsh words can kill it. Harshness can kill it. It can kill it. She will begin to wither. She'll lose vision. She'll lose her sense of purpose. She'll lose it. A woman can literally lose her mind. The Bible says she can be taken with sudden amazement. Sudden amazement, just overwhelmed. Have a nervous breakdown. She has a breaking point. Everybody does. Men have breaking points too. But words can destroy. A creature you don't realize. The Bible says who finds a wife finds a good thing. And favor from the Lord. And so you ought to nourish her and cherish her like your own flesh. She is to be nourished. You are to give yourself for her. Husbands, are you giving yourself for your wife? You feel like I done had this thing long enough. It's time for me to give myself for me. The Bible says, give yourself for her. And if you do that, you don't realize what a treasure you've got. This woman can help you like the opposite of the Tower of Babel. Anything you plant in her, nothing will be impossible. Just with two of you agreeing on earth as touching anything, you too can accomplish anything that God calls you to do. When you get her in agreement with you. But if you beat her up verbally, and God forbid physically, but if you beat her down, you have destroyed your own destiny. She is not called to be the helper. She's not called to be the Holy Spirit. But she is called to be a helpmeet. She is called to be a helpmeet. Let your wives help you. Let your wives help you. Allow them to speak into your life. Don't think that just because you're the head, she can't tell you nothing. Submit to her sometimes. Her counsel. It doesn't mean, and the Bible says it. I don't even know why I'm going here. I didn't intend to go here. But the Lord, for some reason, wants me to share this with you. This is a preview of Christ and the church. Marriage is. And so you've got to learn to build her up. And she's got to do the same thing with you. But for some reason, I'm talking about husbands right now. For some reason, wives are sadly lacking the nourishment of their own husband. They're lacking the building up. They're lacking the attention. People think just because you married, you are not lonely. You'd be surprised how many lonely married women there are. You'd be surprised how many lonely married, because men can get wrapped up in their own thing. Women can too. But men can get wrapped up in their own thing. But when he wants your attention, you better be there. You better be Johnny on the spot. Or Jessica on the spot. Or Jamie on the spot. Or Janice on the spot. Or Julia on the spot. I don't know why I'm with this J's, but you better be on the spot. Let's just stop. Let's just stop right now. God wants to say something and do something about marriages. Yes. Yeah, I know. God wants to do something about marriages right now. So we're going to ask husbands, if God, if the Holy Ghost has dealt with you, we're going to ask that you come down to the altar. Ask you to come. We want the husbands down first. If your husband is not here, we're going to have the women to stand where you are in proxy for your husband. We're going to ask them to come down right now. Bishop Ralph says you can even stand for your future husband. Or the future husband can stand for himself. I want you to stand for your wives or the wife that you believe in God for. You can stand for her right now. Or the husband that you believe in God for. See, things can happen in the spirit. Things can break in the spirit for you. It's not the way that it appears. Things can break in the spirit for you. God is wanting to do a healing. And you know what? A lot of the hurting is because the man is hurting himself. A lot of men hurt their wives because they're hurting. And they're frustrated. There's a little poem that says you always hurt the one you love. The one you shouldn't hurt at all. You always take the dearest rose and crush it till the petals fall. And this is not always. But sometimes you can take things for granted. And you hurt the one you love. And you crush her. I want us to bow our heads right now. Want nobody judging nobody. Because we're standing before God Almighty. Bishop, do you want to lead the men in prayer? Okay. Okay, Bishop said he's guilty himself. Okay, I'm going to lead you because I'm neither male nor female in the spirit. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I stand before you in my manhood, and I know that I am naked before your eyes. Lord, you see the pain and the frustration that I deal with. Lord, your word says, who can understand his error? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant. Keep back your sons from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.
Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me for the way I have treated my wife. I have taken her for granted. I have been harsh with her. I have neglected her. I have not given myself for her. Lord, I've been preoccupied. And it's just some things I just don't understand. But I ask for your mercy. And I ask for your forgiveness. I recognize that my prayers have been hindered. I have not been getting answers that I need from you because of the way I have treated and neglected and wounded my wife. Forgive me. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to wash me, to wash me, to heal me. Right now, I ask that you forgive every harsh word that I have spoken to my wife. I stand right now and I ask you to heal my wife, to pull out every arrow that I have spoken, where I have not covered her, where I have been frustrated with her. I ask that you pour in your healing oil and your healing wine. I intercede for her and I ask that you heal our relationship, restore understanding, release the power of agreement, restore the weaker vessel. I've opened the door. This is what the Lord is showing me. I've opened the door to the enemy, to my wife. My wife has been opened up to the enemy because I have not properly covered her. But right now, by the power of the name of Jesus, by the authority of his name, I shut the door. I bind every demon spirit that has come against my wife. Every lying spirit, every overwhelming spirit, every spirit of fear, every mind-blinding spirit. I break your power. Loose my wife. Loose my marriage. Loose our children. Loose my household. Loose our finances. In Jesus' name. And those of you that are standing in proxy right now, the Spirit of the Lord says that this same prayer has been prayed by your husband, by your future husband, by your husband who is not here. I receive the same prayer. I receive the same intercession as you stood in the gap, that those who are not married, as you stand for those that you right now need in the Spirit. God said, I'm calling them forth. Because now you know and now you understand how to protect that weaker vessel. God says, I'm doing things in the spirit. I'm changing things around. I'm setting up divine appointments. I'm connecting. I'm making connections in the spirit that you will meet that right person. And this time you will get it right because the time is short, but there's still time. And God says, yes. I have heard your prayers and healing is being released. There is power in the relationship. Two is better than one. And I am restoring marriages like never before. There's a joining in the spirit. If the wives are here of those who are in the altar, God is calling you to come and stand by your husband. Come and stand. If you're in the building, if you're present, stand next to your husband. Stand and join hands. Stand and join hands. join hands with your husband if you're here. If your wife is not here, I want you to see her. I want you to put your hand out like you're joining her hand right now. This is powerful. If you're standing in proxy, hold your husband's hand. In proxy, put your hand out like you're joining. Oh, deke, neke tu oranda, neke tu oranda mafara kembre, kembre ne sotoroba, o komose masua, fandese ne tambra, kokinata, tambadasa kepre, folde nese esambro, kome uba, rek, rek, notami kahasha, lane nosite, pasi, Koshamata, oh, and the Spirit of the Lord would say, all that has been stolen from you as a result of division and separation, all is being restored. I am restoring to you what I intended for marriage to be. I'm restoring the power of agreement. The power of planted seed that will come to fruition. Not just natural seed. If there are any who want babies and cannot conceive, God says, I'm healing that right now. But those of you who need to bring forth spiritual babies and spiritual vision and spiritual provision. You need your house to be in order. God says, I am setting your house in order right now. I'm removing that which causes division. I am answering the prayers that you have prayed that have not been heard because my face has been against you. But because you have repented, my face is now shining upon you. And right now I release the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you. The Lord give you peace. May all that you set your hand to prosper. May all the years that the locust has eaten be restored. I release divine provision in every area. Restoration, restitution, provision. Come forth in Jesus' name. Restoration, restitution, provision. Come forth in Jesus' name. These are men and women of God, men and women of honor, men and women that can be trusted, whose prayers have pierced the second heaven and are now offered as incense on the altar of God Most High. And they are received as a sweet smelling sacrifice. And God says, I'm releasing the aroma of blessing upon you. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed in the name of Jesus. Let every marriage and every relationship be restored to God's original pattern in the name of Jesus. And let all of God's children shout hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God.